I want to bring a message here tonight on our Lord's temptation. Here in Matthew chapter 4, that's what he's talking about. Our Lord was tempted. He was tempted. It says, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now the word tempt has two different meanings in the scriptures. Two different meanings. And they come from two different sources. The different meanings come from two different sources. When it says tempt, where God said he did tempt Abraham. In Genesis 22, that means he tried Abraham. Because you go to Hebrews 11, and then God tried the faith of Abraham when he told him to take his son Isaac, his only son, up on the mountain. So the word tempt means to try. It means to try, as God tempted Abraham. And the second meaning of tempt, or tempted is, or tempt, is to entice. Is to entice, to bait, to draw after somebody. As Satan here tempted our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you about God's trials. When God tried Abraham, God's trials are always, always, all of them are for our good. Always. Never fail. They're always for our good. And that's why he said that we know that all things work together for them who love God and are the called according to his purpose. God said that. And I can be a witness to that, and you can too. And that's why he says, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you as if some strange thing happened unto you. And he says, the trying of your faith being much more precious than of gold, though it be tried with fire, that it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now you keep this, and look in Job 23 with me just a minute. Job 23. When God tries a man, like he tried Abraham, when God tries a man, it's always for his good. Always for his good. I believe you preached that on that Sunday night, didn't you, about Abraham and Abraham believed God that he says, I am the lad, going to go up yonder and worship, we're coming back again. But he said, God did tempt Abraham, take his son, your only son, and you take him up on that mountain and you offer him. You make it. And Abraham went right on to do it because he really believed that God would bring that boy back off that mountain if he had to raise him from the dead again to do it. Because the promise dwelt in that son. So God's trials are always for our good. Look what he said here in Job 23:10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, listen to this, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. When he hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold. That's the whole purpose of the trials. And oh, you know, and I tell you something else about the Lord's people, they want to be tried. David said in Psalm 139 and verse 23, he says this, try me, O Lord, and know my heart. Search me and know my thoughts. You do it, Lord. You don't let me be deceived. Don't let me be enticed. Don't let me know. Please, you search me. You search my heart. You know my thoughts. Because I'm afraid to trust myself. And that's what's on God's people. And then Satan, when he tries, when his temptations come and he entices it, it's always for evil. Always for evil. When God said, when he was walking to and fro on the face of the earth, the Lord asked him, said, what are you doing? He said, I'm walking to and fro upon the face of the earth, seeking whom I may what? Destroy. I come here to destroy. Our Lord come to give life. And he said, I'm looking for somebody to destroy. And he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. He's a serpent for his subtlety. He's called an angel of light. And that's what he is here when he begins to quote scriptures. He changes himself into an angel of light. And you can't tell the difference in him. And then, beloved, he's called the dragon for his fierceness. He is a master beguiler. Paul said, I'm afraid for you as a serpent beguiled our mother Eve through his subtlety. You may be beguiled from the simplicity which in Christ Jesus. So you see, I tell you what, so God tries us for good. Satan's are always for evil. But now let's look at our Lord's temptation back over here again. Let's look at his temptation. I want you to notice something. The time that his temptation took place. Now look back up here in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 16. And look at the time. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water. And listen to this now. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You know, the time of this temptation was after the heavens were opened on our Lord Jesus Christ. After the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And there's an order here. First, he's owned by the Father. The Father says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. He was anointed by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit came down upon him, without measure. And then he was tempted by the devil. But after the heavens opened, after the Father said, this is my beloved Son, that's when he was tempted of the devil. It was after Paul was caught up into the third heaven. He's caught up into the third heaven. Heard things, he said, I cannot come back, and I can't tell you what it means. I can't tell you, it's not lawful for me to tell you what I saw. But just as quick as he got back, you know what the scripture says? The Lord sent the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. He came down from heaven, seen those glorious things in that third heaven, and when he got back, what happened to him? Devil attacked him. Satan attacked him. Messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. And it was after God's testimony of Job, he said to Satan, he said, have you ever considered my servant Job a perfect and an upright man? He eschews evil. And he fears me. He said, I'll tell you what, you let me at him, and he'll curse you to your face. But it was after God made the testimony of who Job was and what he was like and how God owned him. That's when Satan came and says, you let me at him. It's always after some great blessings. And I tell you something too, beloved, it's only after God owns us. God owns us, says, you're my beloved. After only God owns us and make us to know that we're His. It's only after the Holy Spirit anoints us and fills us and teaches us about Christ, that's when Satan starts to try us. He don't have to try us until we become believers, till God acknowledges us to be His own. And that's when he does it. He despises. He despises giving up his goods. He despises letting his people go. And letting people, you know, a strong man armed, as long as he's armed, he can keep his power till a stronger man comes and spoils him and takes his goods. And he don't want to let us go. He don't want to let us go. And I tell you, it's only after God owns us. So it's the time after the heavens open. Just as sure as you get taken so high, Satan's going to come along and try you. Going to try. And then look at the place, this temptation. The time was after the heavens opened, after God owned him to be his beloved Son. Look what it says here, the place it was. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. The place was the wilderness. You know, when Adam was tempted, when Satan came into the garden, serpent came into the garden, Adam was tempted in paradise. He dwelt in paradise, surrounded by Eve. He was the Lord's creation, fresh from the hand of God. And that's when the devil came and tempted Eve and caused them to fall. They were in paradise. And here our Lord Jesus Christ is alone in the desert, in the wilderness, among the beasts, the wild beasts of the field. And all of our Lord's battles, every one of our Lord's battles must be fought alone. Our Lord Jesus Christ went out there by Himself. And I tell you, our Lord's battles must be fought alone. He's alone in the wilderness, by Himself, alone with the devil, toe to toe. He was alone in the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Gethsemane, when He bowed and sweat till His cried till His sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood. He was alone when He says, "Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done." He was alone to drink that cup by Himself. He was alone when He tread the fierceness of the winepress of the wrath of God. He was alone when He was on the cross, when He says, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" And now He's alone in the desert, in the wilderness with the devil. And I tell you what, soul battles, they're solemn battles. And I tell you what, we'll only be tempted. The only place we'll ever have any temptation is in this wilderness of sin right here. And whatever the devil's going to do, he can do his best. But I tell you one thing, our Lord Jesus Christ done faced him, done whipped him, done defeated him, and us in Him have defeated him too. So whatever he's going to do, give it his best shot, because he cannot, one thing he can't do, he can't come through the blood and get you. He can't do it. And oh, that's why he says, if God will not let you be tempted above that you're able to bear. He will not. He says, there's no temptation taking you that ordinary man has not been through at one time or another. God will not let you be tempted above what you're able to bear. And with that temptation, you know what He does? He makes a way for you to get out from under that temptation. And He'll make a way for you to get through that thing. Just like He did Paul. Paul said, "Lord, take this thing away from me." Oh, he asked the Lord three times, "Take this thorn that's in my flesh, take it away from me." Ask Him three times. You know what the Lord said to him? "My grace is sufficient for you." That was his way of escape. "Lord, I can't. My grace is sufficient for you." "Oh Lord, it makes me so weak." "Well, I'll tell you something, Paul. My strength is made perfect in your weakness." The weaker you are, the more glory I get. Huh? And oh, beloved, not only the time after the heavens were opened, and the Father says, "This is My beloved Son." Not only the place in the wilderness, not only is our Lord Jesus Christ alone, but look who it is that's tempting. Our Lord Jesus Christ in His humanity. In His humanity. Oh my, it says, "Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards He was hungry. And then the tempter came to Him." The tempter came to Him. Waited till He was weak. And it's our Lord Jesus Christ. It says Jesus in His humanity. "Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin." But look what this, look what, and it says in verse 3, "And when the tempter came to Him," look what He says. He was tempted. The tempter came to Him. And let me tell you something, just before I get to that, let me say a few things. This shows us how truly human our Lord Jesus Christ was. Now we know that God cannot be tempted. God cannot be tempted. He tempteth no man with evil, neither can He be tempted. But here our Lord Jesus Christ in His humanity was tempted. Look, you keep this and look at Hebrews 2 just a minute. You know it says, "We have not a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But He was all in all points tempted like us, yet without sin." But our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted, and yet He was tempted, and yet without sin. You and I, we don't even have to be tempted to sin. Look what it said here in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. Forasmuch then, it shows how truly human, what a man his humanity was. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death through all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily or truly He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham, that promised seed. Listen to this now. Wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of His people. For in that He Himself hath suffered, being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. And ain't that what it says there? Back over here in verse 3, and when the tempter came. The temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, beloved, was so intensely real. And I tell you why it was, because of His sinless nature, His holy nature, the purity of His nature. You know, we as believers, especially when we were younger, sin would be such a burden to us, such an awful burden to us. It just grieved us, and we grieved over our thoughts, we grieved over our feelings, we grieved over a thousand things that would go on in our heart and mind. But can you imagine our Lord Jesus Christ in His sinless humanity, the purity of His heart, the purity of His soul, the purity of His mind, the purity of His person, that when Satan would come to tempt Him, how intense must that temptation have been because of His sinless, holy nature? How intense and real it must have been. And oh, look, he said, if thou be the Son of God. That's the first thing He says to him. If you really who you say you are. And people still throw that in the face of God, in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. If He's really God, if He's really Christ, and if He's really got the power, why don't He do this? Why don't He do another thing? Why don't He stop this over here? Why don't He bring that person down and bring this one up? And why does He let this happen to that person? Something happen, not happen to that? It goes on and on and on with all those. And what they're saying is that I know more about what ought to be done in this world than God does. But now look at the nature of His temptation. Oh, our Lord Jesus Christ was tempted. But look at the nature of it. It could only be without, had to be coming from without, because Satan could find nothing in Him. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, let us get up and go. Satan cometh, and he hath no place in me. So it had to be from without. It had to be toward His flesh. It had to be toward that human nature. And look what He said. He tempted Him to self-satisfaction in verse 3. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. You know why He said that to Him? Because He knew He was hungry. He just went 40 days and 40 nights and didn't eat anything. Very hungry. Satan knew that. So he came to him, you be the Son of God? If you're really who you say you are? He said, there's these stones right here. All you got to do is say, command them to be turned to bread, and you can pick them up and eat them. You can satisfy your own hunger. You can satisfy your own hunger. But oh, listen. And he was hungry. He was hungry. You imagine what it's like to go without just a few hours without anything to eat. And here our Lord Jesus Christ been 40 days, and he answered. But he answered. Hungry. Hungry. And he answered and said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Our Lord Jesus Christ here, our Master, shows us that there's something more precious than bread in this world. And that is the Word of God itself. Our Lord Jesus Christ said it was his meat. Jeremiah said it's honey. It's honey to his taste. Job said he esteemed the words of his mouth more than his necessary food. I can do without food, but boy, if I have to do without the Word of God, what would I do? Our Lord Jesus Christ himself said this, "Search ye the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, for they are they which testify of me." Our Lord says, "The word that I speak unto you, their spirit and their life." Now I'll tell you some people who did not think that the Word of God was precious, did not think that the Word of God was worth believing, did not think that the Word of God is what they needed. Esau sold his birthright for some deed. He said, God said that the firstborn had all the inheritance. He had the head of the house. He was the spiritual leader of his house. He was the priest of his house. So that birthright for Esau had spiritual, great spiritual significance to him. And what did he say? What good will a promise do me if I die of hunger? What good will it do me? And like Eve was tempted to do what? To eat. The Lord said for us not to eat that. He said, "Oh, listen. If you eat that, you know how smart you'll be. Oh, it'll make you wise. It'll make you so wise. And your eyes will be open. You'll see things that you just never dreamed existed. Oh, your eyes will be opened, and all the wonders of the world that you'll see." She ate that fruit, gave it to Adam, and here we're set tonight. Because Satan, she'd rather have something to eat and be enticed into doing it than taking God at his word. And in dying, they began to die. Now there ain't anything wrong with getting bread, but it's how it's obtained. Would you sell your soul for a piece of bread? That's what Esau did. Would you sell the human race into sin? That's what Eve and Adam did. And oh, listen. You say, "Well, there's people who won't do that." Well, you go, how many times do we find in the New Testament, in the Old Testament both, where people were beggars? Lazarus was a beggar, sitting at the rich man's gate. And I tell you what, he was so poor that he begged for his bread. And he sat right there, and the dogs, when he had so many sores on him, the dogs would come up and start licking on his sores. And he was so poor and so weak that he wouldn't even beat the dogs off. But I tell you one thing I know, he's in glory now. And the other man fared, what did he do? Said he fared sumptuously. That means he sat with more than he knew what to do with. Not only did he tempt him to self-satisfaction, command these stones be made bread because he knew he was hungry, but he tempted him to self-destruction. Look what else he says now in verse 5. "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple." Oh my. and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast yourself down. Now listen to what he said. And this you talk about an angel like, look what he says here. And he quotes this verse of scripture exactly the way it is. He shall give his angels charge concerning you. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone, unless you even let your foot hit a rock. And our Lord said unto him again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And look what he said. He took him up first. Set him on a great big pinnacle up on top of the temple. And I tell you one thing, the higher up you go, the greater your fall will be. Pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. The higher you go, the greater you fall. There's no telling how many people committed adultery in David's day, but David was the king. David was the highest. And David had to come all the way down. So the higher you go, the farther you fall. And I tell you, they said here, the Lord will catch you. That's what he told the Lord Jesus Christ. Cast yourself down. You're sitting up here. Just throw yourself off this pinnacle here. Just jump off. He said, oh, before you get down there, the angels will come scooping you up and just bear you away and carry you away and set you down just like a baby. Oh, the Lord will catch you. He won't even let you stub your toe. And our Lord Jesus cast him down, warning self-destruction, destroy yourself. And our Lord's answer, yes, you're right. But our Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm not going to put myself in a position where I force God to save me. I'll not presume he'll catch me if I jump. I'll not presume he'll stop me if I cast myself down. And that's why our Lord says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't put yourself in a position where if I get out here and get on this thing, God will save me. Don't presume. Don't you dare. If you see a tornado coming, if you don't find you a hiding place, you need to be swept away. Ain't that right? I'm going to stand out here and see if the Lord let that tornado just go right around me. Well, there have been a lot of the Lord's people killed in tornadoes. It comes as a whirlwind. I mean, it's foolishness. Foolishness. And oh, not only did he tempt him to self-destruction, self-satisfaction, but tempted him to glorify himself. Tempted him to self-glorification. Glory in yourself. Glory in who you are. Look what he says now in verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Took him up there, set him on the, and this says here, showed him all the glory, the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. There's a lot of cities, a lot of places you can go and you can see the glory of it. There's lots of places I've been. You see the glory of the Grand Canyon, the glory of those redwood trees in Northern California. The glory of Edinburgh and the lights in those big temples all over that city at night. The glory of standing over on the Smoky Mountains and looking down in those big old valleys as far as you can see. And he took him up and said, look at all these kingdoms and all this power and all this glory and all this wealth. He said, it can be yours. All you've got to do is worship me. It's this, and he's telling our Lord Jesus Christ, this is the easiest way. This is much easier to get all the kingdoms of the world And you won't have to shed any blood. You won't have to suffer. Huh? And oh, beloved, but he's a liar. And he's the father of lies. And that's how he deceived Eve. That's how he deceived her. Started lying to her. And I'll tell you something that he lied about. The kingdoms of the world are not his, and they're not his to give. How many times have we read where the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof? The heavens, his throne. You know what this earth is? Nothing but his footstool. And Daniel, it says there that thou hast given him everlasting dominion over all the kingdoms of the world. And the Father loveth the Son, giveth all things into the hands of the Son. And oh, beloved, that's why he's a liar and the father of lies. And that's not the only person who said anything original in the scriptures was the devil. Rest of us, we have to take what God said. The world, that's what he's telling us, that's what he's saying here, said, you know, you the kingdoms of the world are yours. He's telling the Lord Jesus Christ, the world don't need saving by blood. Don't need saving by your death. Don't suffer any. I'll give you all that you want. But oh, listen, don't let him ever deceive you this way, because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Whatever you think you have, and the devil makes you think you got, it'll be an illusion. And one of these days, men will wake up and learn that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he must reign until the last enemy is put under his feet. And oh, look what our Lord Jesus Christ, look how he answered him in verse 10. He said, oh, I'll give you all this if you'll just fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Worship the Lord thy God, him only. I tell you, let me just say a few things about the tempter. The time, the place, the temptations. But look at the tempter. It says here, in verse 1, to be tempted of the devil. The devil. It said in verse 5, then the devil taketh him. Verse 8, the devil taketh him. He's called the devil. He is a person. He is a person. And he has great power. But his greatest power is delusion. His greatest power is to delude people, to bring them strong delusions that they might believe a lie. Only weapons he has is deceit, is guile, and pride, and lies. That's the weapons he uses. Pride, self-righteousness, lies, guile, deceit. But let me tell you something. Wicked men and women, they have the deceit they already in themselves. And all Satan's got to do is come and work with what's already in a human being. And I tell you what, he's called the strong man armed, but that's just a facade. Just a facade. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has the power. You know, it's like that rich fool that had, he said, I've been blessed so much. I've got so much stuff. I don't know what I'm going to do with all of it. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down all these barns. I'll have me some great big ones built. I'll fill them up. And say, now, soul, take thine ease, eat. Oh, you have much good stored up before. That was a delusion. Satan deceived him. I've got everything. I don't need nothing. Don't need God. I don't need salvation. I've got enough wealth to do me. Fool. Tonight, God requires your soul. Esau, oh, Satan deceived him. What good is a promise going to do you if you're hungry and you starve to death and you're so weak you can't stand up? You know how many people's left this world and never ate nothing for days and days and days and went to be with the Lord? Huh? Yeah, it's been a lot of people. And then there's a lot of people that fared sumptuously. They're going to hell. But I tell you, not the way. I tell you, I'm not going to, God helping me, I'm not going to sell my soul for bowl of oatmeal. Are you? He's the God of this world, and all outside of Christ are His slaves, and He does with them as He will. But now let me tell you how our Lord Jesus Christ fought this fight and won this battle and won the great victory for all of us. And it was called the fight of faith. Look at the means our Lord Jesus Christ used. He used the Word of God. He said, it is written, it is written, it is written. That's what He used against Satan. Everything Satan said, our Lord Jesus Christ, it is written. But it is written. Wait a minute. It is written. The Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And to obey is better than sacrifice. The foundation of our faith is, thus saith the Lord. Yes, God is true and every man's a liar. Our Lord Jesus Christ, He had a multitude that they heard Him preaching. And Todd preached on this last Sunday. This is a hard saying. Those are harsh words that you say. How can you expect us to believe them? How can you expect anybody to follow you when you use such harsh language? No man can come unto me except my Father send me draw him. That's too hard. That's harsh. What about my choice? What about my free will? What about my rights? What about my power? What about my morality? What about my church going? What about my praying? And a multitude went and walked away from the eternal to the 12 and said, will you also go away? And they said, Lord, Lord, yeah. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You've got what? The words of eternal life. Oh, listen, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Fight the good of fight of faith. And this is what you fight it with. It's right here. All the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. They're yea and amen. And then look at the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 11. Oh, the victory. He said, get thee hence, Satan. Then the devil leaveth him. And look what happens now. And the angels came and ministered unto him. Our Lord Jesus Christ was weak. Hadn't ate. And the angels come, gave him strength. Angels came and ministered unto him. And all, beloved, I tell you, the Scriptures tells us in 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. Oh, our blessed, blessed Father, thank You for Your gospel. Thank You for the truth as it is in Christ. Your blessed, blessed Word. Oh Lord, to never presume on You and to worship You and You alone through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You for this time together. Oh, blessed be You for letting us have this time. Lord, meet the needs of this congregation, those who are not with us. Please protect them and preserve them. Peggy in the hospital, strengthen her, encourage her, and see her safely home. Strengthen Brother Gary and encourage him. Father, I pray for mercy for our children, for Josh, for Dylan, Lenny, Doogie, Riley, Bentley, Cason, Amy, Britt, oh Lord, we call their names. Lord, it's not enough to just say, forgive our children. But Lord, we call out their very names to you. Want their names to be heard before you. So Lord, please, in your sovereign mercy, go where they are. Deal with them. Make them feel their need of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light.